This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am with my rather well-educated co-host, Jon. Hello, Jon.
Well-educated. That means that I have to be polite. Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
I mean, it would be a change, but yes, I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the new year hasn't hit too hard. Everything's back in the flow now.
I am, yes, mostly feeling that I have an idea of what I'm doing, which is good. Makes change.
Well, fortunately for me, I'm getting help with that, because after the holiday break, I'm back deep into study.
Indeed. And you are studying as an adult rather than studying as a child.
Well, I did try to regress myself to my childhood years, but then I had my memories coming back and I thought, no, let's not do that. Let's just stay adult and do some adult education, which is not what you might think, but education done by an adult.
Indeed. Yeah, let's not go down that particular particular direction. So yeah, it's again a little bit of a different episode this time, talking a little bit more about what it's like to go back into, I would say, more formal education when you're in the workplace.
Because I think there's different ways of doing this, right? Because a lot of people, definitely in our line of work, stay continuously learning and typically are going to things like Coursera or EDX and things like that. Little courses here, courses there. You go to a convention which has a workshop or something like that. And I'm definitely not saying that that is not useful. The problem, definitely in recent years, is that it's a lot of marketing-driven content you get that way. And that's not exactly what you're often looking for, or at some point you want something more fundamental, more structured, more long-term to actually build to something.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, we sort of both have experience in this space. Realistically, this is more about your experience than my experience, mainly because my experience of adult education was sort of back 1995 through to 2000. So it was a little while ago, we'll say that.
Do you think things have changed? I mean, like the internet got invented along the way.
Oh, come on. It wasn't quite that long ago. But yes, I think it's fair to say things have changed. And also, like, we were doing it in very different setups, and we'll get more into this as we go through, but you know, I was attending a physical university while also working full time, so evening, day release, that sort of thing. And you are doing something, you know, fully remote, so you know, those experiences are also very different, but I think there's still probably some parallels that we may draw, but let's see.
I think so. Maybe first let's talk about why you would start something like this. I can go first if you like.
Yeah.
For me, it was basically, we've talked before already, because why we're doing what we're doing, why we're solution architects, you're not management, I'm still a continuous contributor, basically lifelong learning, new stuff all the time. And I've been lucky enough to be at the forefront of the whole virtualization thing, the big data thing, and so on. And in recent years, like the last 10 or so, I've been interested more and more in quantum computing. Now, quantum computing is quite complicated stuff. And whenever I was trying to self-educate myself, I got into trouble because it's been a while since I've been to school and maths maybe hasn't evolved that much, but I have forgotten a lot. And getting to quantum computing at some point, if you want to get to the basics of it, if you really want to understand how it all works, I just had problems getting through all of the physics and maths. And at some point I decided, well, I can either just keep being a fanboy of quantum computing and just keep it at that, or learn more about it and just have some formal education to do that. Now I should say that this is not something I'm doing in any kind of professional way. I mean, if I ever get a job offer for quantum computing, I think I would be interested. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. So I'm not doing this particularly to advance my career, although as a solution architect, being able to talk about the new things that are happening in the world is a good thing, because it does give the trust on the other part that, hey, this guy, this girl is staying up to par with what's happening. So it does indirectly still help me. And obviously, well, just learning new things and rather difficult things, if I can be a bit honest, it also helps you stay sharp. I mean, if you don't learn new things at some point, I guess you forget how it's done. And this way, it also tangentially helps my professional life, as continually learning something is a muscle you need to train.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, in my case, again, this is, let's say, quite some time ago. I was, over 30 years ago when I started. This was very much, I was already working, but I started working at 16. So I didn't have any higher education. And I'm still a little bit on the fence as to whether or not it was actually sort of needed, but I was given the opportunity to do so. Education in the UK at that time was still, very, very cheap in terms of higher education. And so I jumped at the opportunity. I'm still not 100% sure whether it was the best use of all of my time and effort. But there were certainly things that I did learn there that maybe I would have picked up as I'd continued through my career, but it certainly accelerated certain parts of this. I would say, for me, it was something that I thought I should do rather than something that I really wanted to do. And, again, that was just the way my brain was thinking back then is, this should be beneficial long term.
Yeah, it's just basically, I did do a bachelor in computer science after my normal school. So I did study only a couple of years. It wasn't anything major. I mean, bachelors didn't even exist in those days. Now it's kind of equivalent to a bachelor, apparently. But yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between going to school because you have to, because you think you have to, and because you think it's fun and you want to. Unfortunately, I'm in the latter one now, so it's a very different experience, I must say.
Yeah. The other thing I would say, though, is that I actually started off because, again, this is many, many years ago, I spent 11 years at Rolls-Royce Military Aero Engines. So I was involved in mechanical engineering. I actually started a whole kind of higher education journey with mechanical engineering. And so I do have, qualifications in mechanical engineering as well. But because during my work journey, I realized that the mechanical engineering side wasn't as interesting as the technology side, I then, once I'd wrapped up my engineering qualifications, I then went on to start at that time my BSc, and I worked my way through that as well. So it was one of those things where, again, I sort of started on the mechanical engineering side because that's what I was doing when I first started working there, and over the course of time, it just made sense for me to kind of also then, once I'd wrapped up one side, start something else, because that was the way that I could see my career was going.
And how many years did you do? Did you do full-time education alongside a full-time job, or did you do part-time? You just mentioned it's a full-time job, but...
Yeah, it was part-time. So it was kind of evenings, day release, that sort of thing.
So kind of doubled the true time for the education then, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically, I think for both my mechanical engineering and my computing. It was basically nearly 10 years for everything. As you well know, like, it takes a lot longer when you're only sort of doing this effectively part-time.
Yeah, and it's still a lot of work part-time. I mean, maybe I'm going to talk about my own experience now because it's a bit more relevant and recent. So I've started a master in physics. I started it 2 years ago, so I'm doing my third year now. But I'm also doing part-time, which means every academic year is spread over 2 years. So I'm only halfway my second year, or second level, let's call it that. So for me, it's going to take 8 years to get my master, if everything goes well, obviously, and it's going okay at the moment. But yeah, full-time education, I mean, you can't have a full job and a full-time education at the same time. Even if you could fit the hours, there's just, I mean, especially if you're doing it because you want to learn the stuff and not just because you want to have that little piece of paper that says you have a degree. I actually want to understand what I'm learning. So I want to put the effort in to really go through the material, not just because I have to, because I want to understand it. So it does take a lot of mental power. And at the end of the day, you're tired from your job, and then you do your education stuff as well. So doing a full time at the same time, either if you have it, apprenticeship, that's of course a way of doing it, where your job is your education. That's not what we're talking about here. So part time is kind of mandatory. And as you mentioned earlier, I'm doing it completely online because I looked around, and in the Netherlands where I live, there are a couple of universities that do adult education. Going to keep that in, but they still kind of required 1 day a week to be in the classroom to do the things, and also the exams, you had to go somewhere to do them. And for me, okay, the exams, I guess I could do that, but I don't like it. But definitely going 1 week to a classroom somewhere is something in my job I just can't do. My employers don't allow part-time jobs, so that was out. And it was actually pretty hard to find something, an educational institution, that actually did everything online. And to be honest, the only one I found that was more or less in the neighborhood is actually the Open University in the Great of Britain's. And at the time, we talked about it because for me, I knew the Open University from the BBC. I mean, the BBC, when I was young, had these educational programs going on in the mornings and stuff like that. So I knew the logo and stuff, but you do kind of wonder then, okay, it's an online thing. How trustworthy, how valuable will this be? And that's a difficult one. I mean, an established brick and mortar university like Oxford, Harvard, they do stuff and that has their name attached to it, the end. But the Open University has been doing remote study forever. Yep. They do have a brick and mortar building in Milton Keynes. So there is a laboratories there, so you can actually go there if you want to. But 99%, I think, of what they're doing, and definitely everything that's mandatory, is fully remote. And I remember asking you, okay, this Open University, what's your stand? Is that something that's going to be respected? Again, I'm not doing this to earn a degree, to advance my career, but still, if you have the degree, you kind of want to have that it means something, right?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I know several people that have engaged with the Open University, and both had great experiences, and have also, you know, since found that actually it is highly regarded for a couple of reasons. Like, one is the education itself is like very good in the first place, but the second thing, which I think is not to be underappreciated, and this I think goes both for Open University and like studying part-time alongside full-time work, is it shows employers a huge amount of discipline and drive to get things done. Because I think you would agree in this, but certainly my experience was, it was hard. It was really, really hard to keep, you know, your full-time job at, you know, a good level of performance, and also to, you know, keep your education also at a, you know, good level of performance and execution as well. You know, you are definitely sacrificing evenings, weekends, you know, time that you would normally go and socialize or, you know, unwind and, you know, play games or watch films or all that sort of thing. Not all of it. There's still time to do that mm-hmm. sort of stuff for yourself. But a good chunk of it does end up getting swallowed up with this kind of stuff. And certainly as a hiring manager, if I see someone has gone through this experience, whether remotely, fully remotely, like the Open University, or through a, you know, day release, evenings, that sort of thing, then it tells me something about that individual. And it tells me something, generally speaking, very positive about that individual. So that's the other part that I think, you know, maybe if you haven't gone through the experience, maybe you wouldn't necessarily pick up on that.
Yeah, and a lot of people are doing it because I kind of kept it quiet until I had a couple of years under my belt because it's kind of, I'm going to start an education and 2 weeks later you've given up. It's kind of bad. I don't do that. So I only put it on my LinkedIn profile like last October, I think. And now with LinkedIn, it actually shows you when you see contacts who have also attended the schools you attended. And actually that logo appears quite on a lot of places. But yeah, it does require a lot of discipline and routine. Personally, what I found works best is I've started following the 5 a.m. club schedule, which basically means get up at 5, do a bit of exercise until 6, and then study for 2 or 3 hours, and then start my work day. In the evening, I find myself to be, I don't know, tired isn't the word, because when you do start doing something active, you will wake up at some point, but having the discipline to actually finish your work day with all of the annoyances that a normal work day brings, that's just how work is, it's a reason you get paid for it, and then having to kind of switch mentally into an education stance to start learning. I mean, sometimes I do it because sometimes life happens and you have to fill in things, but yeah, I mean, those couple of hours every day and then weekends. And yeah, I mentioned the holiday break. I didn't have a holiday break. I spent the 2 weeks studying quite hard, to be honest. Mm. But that's a good thing. That planning thing. And if I look at we have a lot of online forums, of course, where students can talk to each other. And the main problem is having that discipline to keep up with all of the coursework. Because when you start running behind, I mean, in the courses I followed up until now and this year as well, there are some, there's a name for it, I forget the name, but a couple of empty weeks to allow you to catch up. But there's only a couple there. And the moment that you kind of let your discipline lapse, it's very hard to jump back on the wagon. That's, psychologically, it's just hard to do. But anyway, so I went for Open University because it was all online and because I've been doing online for a long, long time. Because when comparing institutions, how they do the online stuff is also very important. And at the Open University, most of the courses I followed up until now both had physical books that were sent to me by the mail. But all the things are also available online in a browser. So I can actually just have my phone and read through texts. If I'm waiting somewhere, you're not studying then, but it's just a first read through to have some ideas coming. So you can do it at every moment. And that kind of helps a lot, to be honest. But also the way they have their exams set up and especially how they help. Because I was actually blown away. And again, I have no comparison with other universities because I'm doing the Open University. Maybe it's the same somewhere else. I don't know. But I didn't expect the amount of help that was offered in online tutorials on how to use the environments, how to set up schedules, how to set up that discipline. A lot of the keep our students sane and active was way bigger than I was used to, because when I did my bachelor a long, long, long time ago, it was kind of like, these are the hours you have to be in school, here are the books, and then it's the exam, have fun, have at it. And yeah, just the fact of having to go to the building every day to take your classes kind of did the discipline thingy more or less. I mean, there are always people who don't go to classes, of course, but they had that kind of motivation. Here, we're doing it online. It takes a lot more effort. And I was very pleasantly surprised with how much they are aware of that and are offering to help.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going to say that, you know, I think some of that comes from the fact that they've been doing this a long time. But I, you know, just looked it up. Open University was founded 1969. They really have been doing this a long time.
Something that's older than me. That's hard to find these days.
But it's impressive, and it's clearly a sign, at least to me, that they've learned a lot from you know, their students over the years of, you know, what makes a student successful. And as you say, especially when you're doing this sort of thing remotely, that kind of discipline, instilling that kind of structure, they clearly have recognized how important that is. Mm-hmm. I definitely did not get any of that sort of support. What I would say is I was at that point somewhat older than the full-time students that I would interact with, but there was a small group of us part-time students, and the thing that I really noticed is how much more structured, how much more driven, how much more focused on, you know, planning and execution and like meeting the deadlines we were, all of us part-time students, compared to the full-time students that, you know, just finished in the UK, at least just finished doing their A-levels and, you know, and were sort of, you know, several years, you know, in their working through their degrees. But we often found, like, as, you know, part-time students, we would mostly stick together in terms of, you know, whenever there was a group assignment or something like that, because, you know, we can't just drop into campus for an afternoon or something like that on randomly. You know, we needed to do a lot more things asynchronously. And yeah, that sort of collaboration is much, much easier now. But you've got to remember, this was mid-90s that I was doing this. It was a lot more challenging back then to do this. And yeah, I think your experience now is, you know, is light years ahead of the experience that sort of I had back then.
Yeah, but still group assignments are still a problem, because you never, I mean, most of the students in my little group are all around the world, a big part of it in the UK, but with people from Australia, Africa, I mean, it's really very international thing. So having to do group assignments, it takes a long time. Typically they give, something could be done in like a weekend, they'll give you like a month, because schedules and things like that. Mm. Now, up until now, it's just been smaller exercises, some data gathering, filtering things, nothing too hard to do. So basically you could still just do it on your own and then fake that you did it in a team if you want. So that was fine, but next year there's actually a module that requires a team effort. It's just too much work for one person to do, and the report, the end result, apparently also needs to be representative of that. It's not just an exercise in a module. No, the module is a group exercise, and it's about telescope things and stuff like that, planetoids. But I'm kind of scared is a big word, but maybe a little bit worried, because I've been able to keep up a pretty high average score up until now. And I've had the same thing when I was in school, when I was younger, being penalized by team members. And I know this sounds very bad and very thick-headed of me, but it did happen, and that's very demotivating for me. So I'm very curious how they're gonna, I don't know, deal with that.
Yeah. Well, I think we've covered at least the first intro into some of this, but we're running a little long. So I think if this has been interesting to you, come back next episode and we will continue the educational journey.
Oh my God, this has now become a multi-level, multi-year episode. But as Dave said, that is all the time we have for today. No more learning, all learned out for today. You can go back to your video games and play, or even better, support this podcast and become a patron. Contributions do help. Yay. Education isn't cheap, trust me. We are on YouTube, you can like, subscribe, hit notification bells, and you can go to our website at www.drawingelf.org, and there's links there to the Patreon page, YouTube page, and all other information about the podcast. You can also send your feedback to podcast@roaringelephant.org. And as Dave said, this is kind of a different kind of episode. So if you enjoyed this, let us know and maybe we'll do more. And if you didn't enjoy it, also let us know and we'll probably do less. Until next time, my name is Sophomore Jon.
And my name is Educated Dave.
And we look forward to teaching some more or learning some more next week. Goodbye.
See you later.